Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Hypnosis. I don't know about you, but my knowledge of hypnosis consisted mostly of those entertaining stage shows on TV that always made me glad I wasn't in the audience. Part of that was my introvert self, happy to never be on stage, and part was fear that I could be made to do something truly embarrassing. My guest today is a hypnotherapist. I do address the aforementioned scenario, and Michelle sets us straight about the uses and the efficacy of hypnosis. Not only can it be used to help you get over issues or hurdles, it can be used to strengthen your abilities and expand your creativity. I'm curious about hypnosis and interested in apps, so I really enjoyed learning more about Michelle's app. I hope you learn as much as I did. Listen now to my conversation with Michelle Walters. Every once in a while, I chat with a guest whose expertise is in an area I know nothing about. I love those, as it means I'm going to learn something. And today is one of those days. We'll hear Michelle's story from Michelle's lips, but what I've gleaned is that she shifted from a corporate career in digital marketing to working as a clinical hypnotherapist at the end of the pandemic. Now, unfortunately, it was prompted by immense loss, but it appears she's come out the other end successfully. And what better combination of those two talents, digital marketing and hypnosis, than the creation of an app? I am so right on the money here because she's sitting in my peripheral vision nodding. This is great. Okay, so what we have here are two subjects I'm really interested in, hypnosis and apps, and a guest who can educate me on both. Michelle Walters, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you, Agnes. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no, this is going to be great. Now, I know your loss was devastating, and my condolences about that. So share only as much of that story as you wish. I'd love to hear how a digital marketer became a hypnotist. You say there's a thread that weaves throughout
There's
your
an absolute
career.
thread. Not everybody like sees it, but in my mind, I think fundamentally, I am a creative person and I am a persuasive person. And these strengths are important in both of my steps in my career. One of the reasons why I got into marketing was that I loved thinking about how people think and what attracts them and what repels them and how to persuade them to try your product, try the new flavor, try the new whatever. And I liked the tech bit, and I happened to graduate and got my MBA in the mid-90s, which was like the perfect time to jump into digital marketing. And so I did that on and off for 20, 25 years. I say on and off because I worked for a lot of companies. I worked for a ton of companies. I would tend to take an assignment thinking it was long term. Well, the company would get sold, the client would hire a different agency, things happen a lot in that world. So between the mid-90s and today, I think I counted I had 18 different jobs. Like it was quite a few.
I hear you.
I also got married. I was married to a lovely man named Bruce. When I married Bruce, he had cystic fibrosis. Well, he always had cystic fibrosis, which is a genetic disease that destroys the lungs. He got a lung transplant, which I tell folks is like getting an extension cord on your life, but nobody tells you how long that extension cord is, right? We had a kid, and then Bruce got sick, and Bruce passed away in 2011. I kept motoring through and met a wonderful man in 2015, and we were so happy together. We were planning to get married, planning to do the things, and then he got diagnosed with a terminal illness out of the blue. Like I had picked this guy to be healthy, right? I'd already done with unhealthy. I was like doing this different the second time around. But he got this random blood disease and then started having strokes and a seizure and kidney illness. And Scott, that partner, passed away during the pandemic in 2021.
Holy crikey.
So yeah, I don't know what this is all about. But I'm not that old, really, to have lost two people, but sometimes that doesn't matter. About 2018 or 2019, I read a novel by one of my favorite authors. Her name is Leanne Moriarty. She's Australian, and she's written many great books, including she wrote a little one called The Hypnotist Love Story. I read this novel, and this is kind of a funny book about this hypnotherapist who lived in Australia, and she had a beach house. Like she had it going on. But I read this book and I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. And so I Googled it. I found a school I could go to on the weekends, and I sort of trained on the side. And then during the pandemic, I was moving, my partner passed away, the job I had for the Spanish bank, they decided they didn't want to be in business in the US anymore. Like I was like, okay, this is all changing. It's time to do something new. I'm going to hang up a shingle and become a hypnotherapist. Why not? And so, despite the fact that a lot of people really didn't know what to do with that, because it's not really a number one path for leaving corporate, it's worked out pretty well for me. Turns out I have a very good voice. I have figured out how to connect to source or God or whatever and incorporate wonderful energy. And I help my clients with all kinds of sticky, meddly kind of problems. So I've been helping clients with like weird tics and phobias, fear of flying. I've had a number of clients for driving anxiety. I think that was really big at the end of the pandemic. People hadn't driven and then they were scared to drive again. I've helped people cutting back their liquor. Not so much people who needed to go totally stone cold sober, but like people who drink a bottle of wine and want to drink a glass. Like that's pretty mammoth. Helped a couple of people quit smoking. And I love the work. I also do love marketing. I needed a little break, but now I'm back and I am doing some work to help marketing. I have a small marketing community that I do. And yeah, so that's kind of the hypnosis story. And then we can get to the app when you want to get to the app.
It does come, I promise.
It does come. Yeah. The app is very recent, so.
Okay. As I said in the intro, I know nothing about hypnosis. Now, I don't know if you call it a theory behind hypnosis. How does it work?
So, people have been doing what's essentially hypnosis for generations. We just didn't call it that. Like there were ancient temples, sleep temples in Greece. Well, what were they doing? Well, we think it was pretty much something like hypnosis. And for a long time, hypnosis got kind of lumped into the category of like ghosts and paranormal activity. Well, that's really because we didn't have any way of seeing what it was, of knowing the science behind it. I mean, ancient Greeks thought that the gods were throwing stones from the sky when they were meteors. They just didn't understand what they were. They didn't have the scientific background. So, 10 or 15 years ago, a very famous Stanford researcher named David Spiegel had the bright idea to put people who were in a state of hypnosis in an MRI machine. And that revealed that when people are in a state of hypnosis, they have intentionally dialed down certain parts of their brain, basically getting out of your own way, turning down, quieting some of the default networks that typically you spend a lot of time in when you're in your conscious mind. So, in a way, I would say that hypnosis and hypnotherapy is really a learning to kind of get out of your own way and to activate your imagination. It is a brainwave pattern that is most similar to right before you fall asleep or right as you wake up in the morning. People who don't think they have ever been in a hypnotic state, oh yes, you have. You just didn't know that's what it was. And when I help my clients get into that state, three things happen. People become more suggestible. So they become more open to oh, you're right. I could eat half a candy bar instead of a whole candy bar at night. That would be a good idea. They become less associated with their body. So it's easier to imagine, oh, yeah, I could go a day without picking up a cigarette. And they become super, super focused. which in today's day and age, people love this because it's so hard to be focused, right? We've got things buzzing and going off all over the place. But when you're in a state of hypnosis, all of that world is kind of quiet and you can just be here present with yourself, with what's going on. It feels really good. And helping people into this state, I have the training, I understand the metaphors, the way the brain works. I can help people to do all kinds of stuff. People get over fear of needles, helped a lady get past her fear of bumblebees. It's pretty magical kind of work.
Couple of years ago, I heard someone speak about like the alpha state or the delta state. Like, is that sort of the type of thing? I can't talk
Exactly.
to that either. It's over my head, but it's.
Yep. Most of us spend our waking hours in the alpha state, where most of the sections of our brain are in an alpha brainwave state of mind. That's just a particular number of megahertz that are traveling around in your brain. Your brain is electromagnetic. When you go into a state of hypnosis, you drop from alpha into beta. And that beta state of mind is like the state of mind that you're in right before you go to sleep. When you're really relaxed, that is the state where hypnosis operates. Now, curiously, I find this really interesting. We've also measured brainwave states of different people, right? And what we know is that small children, especially children 7 and under, spend most of their time in that beta state. They haven't grown up enough to be in that alpha state. So there's a little bit of hypnosis, which you might think is kind of like a little kid, where they're more imaginative. They're more like, oh, yeah, so, of course we can imagine that this little doll is alive, it's a little bit like that. So it actually can be kind of fun and feeling like you're a little kid again to go into that brainwave state. But yes, it is related to all of that.
Okay. And I'm going to take a left turn here for just a minute because I'm sure a lot of people tend to go back a couple of decades to those shows where a hypnotist has people do very silly things. Is that real?
It is. It is real, and it is real hypnosis. The thing about it that you have to understand is if you are in a crowd of 100 people, there's somebody in that crowd who will be okay with standing on a stage and clucking like a chicken. Maybe not all of them, but in a large number of people, there is somebody who is perfectly fine with that. Hypnosis does not have a magic power to do anything you don't want to do.
That's my
If you
next
don't want,
question.
yeah, if you don't want, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, if it doesn't make sense to you or doesn't feel good, you just wake up. It's impossible for a hypnotherapist. I mean, it's kind of fun to imagine you could go to a hypnotherapist who would say, don't go to work anymore, and you'd stop going to work, but it doesn't work like that. It is 100% consensual. Now, there are lots of hypnotherapists who think that those people putting on the shows are giving us all a bad rap. I don't really care. I just think it's important for people to understand that if they didn't want to be on the stage, they wouldn't be on the stage. They weren't necessarily planted there. They probably weren't, because it has that kind of power. You just get someone relaxed enough, and if there's enough people there, sure, somebody's going to raise their hand. Somebody's going to pat their head. It's the way your subconscious works, or some people's subconscious works.
Okay, so I'm going to stay with this for just a minute. So, would the hypnotist say, I need volunteers to come up on stage because I'm going to make you do something silly? And so, all those people who say, hey, I'm okay doing something silly, whatever. Or do they bring people up and just hope they can get them all to do the something silly?
Typically, in a big show like that, the hypnotherapist would have everyone in the audience relax, have everyone in the audience be doing some simple directions, and then select a few people from the audience who he or she thought would be the best candidates and invite them to the stage.
Okay.
So for example, you might, I mean, I haven't put on a stage show, but as a hypnotherapist, you might, or a hypnotist, you might stand in front of 100 people, get everybody really relaxed, and then instruct people to elevate their right hand. Well, some of them are going to elevate their right hand, and some of them aren't going to elevate their right hand for hours. But you see the ones where the right hand is coming up, those are the ones you invite to be in the show. That make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, I'm just trying to get my head around it all. Is it similar to like a meditative state, only
It is
instead
very
of
similar to a meditative state, and I have been looking for the research to explain, like on an MRI basis, what have we found to be the differences, but I haven't yet found that research. I think it's coming. The biggest difference between meditation and hypnosis, well, it's hard to characterize meditation because, like, how many kinds of meditation are there? But typically, what we say is the biggest difference is that hypnosis has a goal. You do hypnosis because you are releasing your stress. You are improving your confidence. You are eliminating a phobia. You are doing it for a particular reason. Many of the styles of meditation, and I don't want to try and speak to all of it for all occasions and everyone, but a lot of meditation is focused really on emptying the mind and being 100% present and not goal oriented. Does that
Okay.
make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the other thing that when you were sort of explaining, you said that, you could make somebody think that half a chocolate bar before bed is better than a whole chocolate bar. The cigarette, whatever. Is that like a one-off occasion, or would they come back to you several times to sort of really ingrain the thought?
There are occasions where a single session might be amazing or super powerful or accomplish a lot. But being completely honest, things that have been hard for a while, you probably need multiple sessions. And I have come to realize in my work that there are problems that are more quickly solved in general and problems that take longer. So phobias tend to take longer, especially phobias that have been around for a long time. Long-standing behaviors typically take longer because they've typically been around for a long time. Some things just take longer because they do. Like, you can't lose 40 pounds in a week. It's not going to happen. You need support for that, right? But there are occasions where a relatively few number of visits can make enormous headway with particular problems. Like the gal who came to see me years ago for getting over her fear of bumblebees, she was probably about 40. She said she'd been afraid of bumblebees her entire life. She had no idea why she was afraid. She had never been stung in her entire life. And this was really interfering with her life. She couldn't go outside. I mean, she would run from her car door to my office because she was afraid she'd get stung by bumblebees, like in the 20 feet. And so we worked together. I listened to her. I kind of figured out what was troubling her. We used a mix of a number of different techniques and therapies. And one of her big revelations, and I do this with many of my clients, not all of them, but many of them, is a technique called regression, where we take the feeling, the intense fear, pain, desire, whatever, and go back to wherever that subconscious is going to take us to. Usually that's a childhood memory. Occasionally it's a memory that I say we can't associate with this lifetime, like, oh, I was in jail. Huh, well, we know you haven't been in jail in this body. So anyway, she went back to being a little girl sitting in a garden with her mother, and she thought she was about 6 years old. She was in a dress wearing Mary Jane's. There's roses and lavender and bumblebees and all this stuff in the garden. And then her mother told her that her big sister, who's 10 years older, was upstairs. They were at the hospital, and her big sister was having a kidney operation and might die as a result of this operation. And so this little 6-year-old girl had this sudden fear that her big sister was at risk, might die. And what did she see in front of her? the bumblebees. She crisscrossed the fear of the loss of her big sister with the bumblebees, so that subconsciously, bumblebees were a representation of intense fear. And once we had this story, once we had this explanation, she could get to a new point of saying, I don't like being outside. I don't like bees. I don't like butterflies. I don't like the rest of them. But I now have an explanation for where this completely irrational fear came from. I can recognize that it's an irrational fear, and I can walk from the car to the building. I can go with my boyfriend to the picnic for an hour. Like it really opened up her life by not being so persistently afraid of the outdoors.
I'm glad you gave that example because, we started with the chocolate bar, and it occurred to me that that was super simple. Whereas if you've been afraid, afraid of flying all your life or spiders or bees, that is so ingrained that I can see that it takes time and time
It
again,
takes
probably.
time. And sometimes I can help people with kind of these revelations or stories that help them to process and move on. Our brains look for meaning. We want to know why. That is a natural part of being a human being, is I'm afraid of bees, but I don't know why. Once you have an idea of why, it can be a whole lot easier to go, okay, I can let that go. Yeah. So,
Come,
my work is very different. I mean, different
yeah,
people come to me for different things.
yeah,
So,
yeah. No, I just had a few thoughts about some of the things that I mean. I think I've moved past most of them now at this age. But when I said sphere of spiders, it took me ages to get past that one. Ah, dear. Now you also talk about inner healing. What does that mean, and how does that happen?
inner healing can be different for different people, I've had a number of clients who have come to realize things about themselves and heal those things. So, for example, I recently had a client who had been in a position of authority in her work and then needed to, and it kind of went south. She didn't really excel at the supervisor job. And then she got put on a disability. She had a hip transplant or knee, she had some kind of operation. And then she was going back to work. And she's like, can you support me as I go back to work? And as she went back to work, she not only had her physical stuff, which was mostly healed, she's pretty much okay with that, but she had all of this back blow from this previous stint as a supervisor that hadn't really panned out, and people holding grudges, and really, I mean, a not great workplace, I'll be honest. What we were able to do as we worked together was help her with more confidence, help her with a better perspective on what was going on in her department, how she was, how to fit in and how to back away, so that she really came out of the whole process with a much higher degree of confidence. A much clearer explanation for herself of why being a leader of this group wasn't her jam, but also a clearer idea that it's not that she couldn't be a leader, but in this environment, that was honestly not going to work. So she really grew as a person, after going through our process together.
Now, I talked about my fear of spiders. It was a constant, and spiders are a fact of life. Would it be easier to help me when I was afraid of spiders because they're around all the time? Or I'm thinking of this client that you just talked about, where when she's off having hip replacement or whatever, all those bad memories of the job are just sitting there festering, and she's brooding over them and maybe building them up bigger. And like, it's not like she's having to deal with issues on a day-to-day basis. It's just, she's lying flat on her back, and it's just so which is harder?
It's really hard to say because it's so individual.
Okay.
It's just very, very individual. There are people for whom, like the gal with the bumblebees, like she had no idea that she had this repressed memory of what was going on. But once we found it, things were quick. The gal who was going back to work, part of this was conscious, part of it was subconscious. Like it really hadn't been going on all that long ago, because like I don't know, she was off work maybe 3 months or 6 months or something, you know. In general, I will say that when it's a habit, if the habit is, it's not just a habit, the longer something has been going on, usually the harder it is to solve. Not always, but often. And we all also say that anyone is hypnotizable. It's not 100% true, but it's almost true. If you want to be hypnotized, you can be. If you don't want to, you won't be. It's kind of that simple. It's a consensual thing. People who, like, if you started smoking and then tried to quit in a year, that's probably easier than somebody who'd been smoking for 30 years. But I helped another gal. She had this nasty habit called trichotillomania. Trichotillomania is when you obsessively pull your hair or eyelashes. And she would just kind of like get into this state, and she would be nervous and dreamy, and she would find one little hair and then pull it. And this had happened so much that she had a whole patch of hair missing from behind her ear. She'd been doing this since she was 13. She was retiring. She was in her early 60s. And she had to wear her hair in this funny way to try and cover up this bald spot. And we managed to kind of figure out what were some of the repressed memories that were associated with that, and to do some forgiveness work and some release work to make those things go away. And she left my office with her hair growing back, which was really excited. I joke that like she came in with one problem, but she left with another. She came in with the problem of having a bald spot, but then she needed a hair extensions person because the hair would coming in, but it was short. So even things that have been around for a long time can be completed, can be released and let go.
Okay. Often when I ask you a question, I have a potential answer in mind, and I don't have one this time. But we're
Okay.
talking about, helping people through an issue, through a phobia, something like that. Can you ever use, or do you ever use hypnosis for, like, I don't know, a fun, positive reason that doesn't solve a
Absolutely.
problem?
Absolutely. And I love doing hypnosis for things that aren't problems, that are really growth opportunities for people.
Okay.
Right? Like you can use hypnosis if you feel like you're in a hole, but you can also use hypnosis to help you climb new hills that you want to climb. So, one of my favorite things to do with people is help them with creativity. I've worked with an author who was struggling a little bit to write her book. She was a very detailed, check the boxes kind of person, and so the book writing was a whole different ball game, right? We had to figure out how to get her out of you can check a box to like, no, think creatively. What are you going to put on the page? It's blank, so hypnosis can be used for, well, I love creativity, but other kinds of confidence building. Some people, I've had a couple of clients for public speaking where they just couldn't stand up. And then I've also had clients who could do the stand up and the speaking, but who really wanted to visualize themselves in on bigger and bigger stages, right? A lot of what it is really playing with your imagination and helping you expand your imagination to get you to the places that you want to be, whether that's getting out of a hole or conquering a new hill.
So you use the word visualization, and we often hear about, like if you want to get to the next step, imagine yourself in that arena. It sounds like you can do all the self-imagination that you want, but going to you probably speeds up the vehicle a little bit.
So, there's a lot of, well, and this is maybe a good place to introduce my app. So, in hypnosis, we often work with our clients in a technique called self-hypnosis, which is where an individual would be working independently, most often these days with a recording, to listen to a recording to get them into that state of super, super relaxation, and then to visualize what it is they are trying to achieve. And I will often use self-hypnosis with my clients, like between sessions, right, to help them keep up that messaging that they're working on with themselves between our visits. And that's when I realize, because I make these recordings, I've been making these recordings for my clients for several years, to, oh, you're working on letting go of sugar, or you're working on stopping drinking, or whatever. I just custom record into the microphone a particular recording for Jane or Mark or whatever. And then, partly because I guess I'm kind of clever digital marketing wise and website wise, and like I was there at the beginning of the internet, so I sort of have, I don't want to say I have no fear, but like I'm ready to
You're
take
willing to
risks.
jump in. Yeah.
I'm willing to jump in. I like a couple months ago, I was like, okay, Michelle, are you gonna like get on the AI train, or are you gonna let it run you over? And I was like, I'm not gonna let it run me over. I'm gonna figure out how to do this. And so I realized that there was a unique opportunity for me to make an app. And to be clear, what I have made at this point in time is what is called a web app. It is actually a very smart website. It's not in the phone store. You won't find it on the Apple Store or whatever. But it's called Make My Hypno, makemyhypno.com. And you go there, and if you would like a custom recording for confidence or sleep or imposter syndrome or attracting love or one of 19 different things, you can use this tool to request a recording. It will put your name in it. It will be the way you want it to be, and there are ways to customize it to make it very specific to what you want it to be. Now, it makes this whole recording at my direction using my voice, and it emails you your recording in about 5 minutes. So it's a pretty fabulous new tool. Now, recordings for hypnosis have been available for years, right? Like you can go to YouTube and find something that'll help you go to sleep. But what exists that's pre-recorded is not made for you. And what I have seen in my work is what works best. It's things that are tailored to the individual. So a recording that is made for Agnes for your topic, set where you want it to be, whether that's a mountaintop or a moonlit beach, you can pick what you want. And then you can put in any customizations. If you are like, oh, I want to heal my relationship with my mother, or I want to stop overeating chocolate, you can put in those things and it will use all my directions and make you this recording and send it to you pronto.
Okay, and I gotta say to anybody who's listening and going, like, seriously, I do have a meditation app that I've primarily used at bedtime because as soon as I lie down, it's like I can start thinking about this and I gotta do that tomorrow and oh, that project that I wanna get to. Not that long ago, they did the personalization thing. So I started, like, I just typed in a scenario and boom, I click it on it now and it's like, good evening, Agnes. he'll talk about the fact that he wants to, and I got to choose the voice, that it's going to help me relax, da 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 da. And then he re rewards me by saying, "What a fantastic, or what a fabulous place to spend the rest of your evening, on a beach in Mallorca or something, And it's like, oh, thank you." And I just listened. I mean, first of all, the voice is great. And I rarely hear the end of this thing, and it's only 15 minutes long. So yeah, it really, really does work. Now, I'm going to go further into your app in a minute, but I've got two more questions that I want to ask you. The first one is, I'm not sure I'm going to frame it properly. Your podcast is, you have a podcast, Mind Power Meets Mystic. Your
That's correct.
co-host, Cynthia, is a mystic. Where is the intersection between hypnosis and intuition?
So this is a very interesting question. So I actually met Cynthia years and years before I became a hypnotherapist because I went to her for intuition classes. She was teaching intuition classes at sort of a metaphysical bookstore in Oakland, and I would go and take her classes and learn about how to connect with my intuition and play her little games and do her exercises. And I loved this work. But it wasn't 100% me. Like it just like I wasn't going to be who she is. Like that just wasn't right for me. But when I went to hypnosis school, I was like, oh, this is more me. This is a way of being connected and helping people connect with themselves and their intuition. But it's a way that is backed a little bit more science. There's a little bit less woo with the way that I do things and perceive things. And I think that's part of what makes our podcast kind of a great podcast is she is definitely more woo. And I am a little bit more feet on the ground kind of person. But we both have a great love and affection for one another and sort of curiosity about a lot of similar topics. And so we just have fun with it. This year we came up with a theme to talk to people about their professions and use their professions to relate to the chakras. So, for example, chakra one is all about safety and security. So, we talked to a computer security expert and we talked to a financial planner and we talked to a realtor. And then we've been making our way up the chakras. And I am not an expert on the chakras, but I have a great time talking to people about sort of what made them choose this business and how they weave their intuition into their work. And I think when it comes to intuition, a lot of corporate America certainly kind of gave it a bad rap. And there's a place for it.
Well, and
There's a
we
place
women
for
know
it.
there's a place for it. I think intuition is much stronger amongst women.
I think it is. I think it's a little bit sad. I think it's been pushed down in women, but especially pushed down in men. I worked in corporate for so many years. You can't plan a marketing campaign based on 10 different people and their intuition. That won't work, right? You need to be able to come to some agreement about what are you doing and what is the evidence and what is the opportunity and that kind of a thing. But you might lean on your intuition to decide if you should say, hi, Doris, or dear Doris, right? So anyway, I love the intuition work. What I like about what I do with my hypnosis work is that, I have people connecting kind of to their own intuition and sharing what their own intuition is telling them. Cynthia can do some of that work, but a lot of her work is what she hears from her guides that passes through her that goes out to the receiver. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm hearing is that hypnosis and intuition, there's not necessarily a melding of the minds, but it allows a person to broaden their insight into whatever you're talking about or li
Yeah.
listening to.
Well, and get to know themselves and recognize a part of themselves that that they might not otherwise have done.
Okay, next subject is wellness and AI, and this is a subject that I love. I want to hear your take on it.
So, I'm really curious to see what happens with wellness and AI. I'm excited about my app. My app has a very clear use case. It works for those 19 things on my list. There's some things that hypnosis works for that aren't on my list. You can't use Make My Hypno to quit smoking because it's not what I'd recommend. And I think that where we are with artificial intelligence and apps and all that right now is that I think we're better off solving the small problems than trying to solve too big a problems. I do worry about folks who are going to ChatGPT and asking it to be their therapist. That is kind of a big problem that people are trying to get AI to do, and it's not really built for that. It's not going to be able to do things like that. We'll see. I'm not sure that that will always be true, but right now there aren't a lot of guardrails built into some of those steps and processes, and I feel like we do need those guardrails because we've already seen some unfortunate outcomes. My app is built with some pretty hard guardrails. And so I'm confident that it's going to be helpful for people. But you know, it's who knows? I mean, I never imagined we would be here 20, 30 years ago. So the world changes quickly.
Where I go in my head when I put wellness and AI in the same sentence is more. You've had, I don't know, x-rays, MRIs, or something. And instead of a doctor taking 3 days to go through, could be this, no, not that, could be this, AI can do it in, like minutes. And so it saves the doctor a whole bunch of time. It saves the client money, like all those sorts of things. So in that regard, I think it's so positive. But I also, yes, do understand that it's a slippery slope, depending on what you want it to, you
There
ask
are
it to do.
things that it does really, really well, you know, and there are things that it does pretty well in so little time as to be great, you know, when early when it first came out, because of my background in marketing, I was like, I wonder. I'm going to ask it to give me just to play with it. I'm going to ask it for 20 different names for a hypnotherapy business. Give me 20 names, 20 good names for a hypnotherapy business. Well, it came back in, you know, 2 seconds with 20 names for a hypnotherapy business. And some of them were terrible, but some of them were pretty good. And I'm like, if I had asked a copywriter on my advertising team to come up with 20 names for a hypnotherapy business, it would have taken her more than 3 seconds. I don't know how long, maybe not too long, but it would have taken more than 3 seconds. And so, depending on what you're trying to do, you know, yes, you still needed to look at the 20 names and go, okay, these two or three are pretty good, but it's just remarkable what it can do. I do worry that we need to get our act together to come to some agreements as to how we want to use it, because it's going to have a massive impact on people's jobs. It's going to have a massive impact on, I don't know what it's going to do to content marketing and social media, you know, when people can create fake them and put them all over the world, what will that do? I don't know. But I've also got to, you know, one of the things I work on with my clients is we got to think about today. We need to put the most of our value in thinking about things on today. Yes, we need to recognize the past and plan for the future, but you know, spend your time working on today.
I've just recently gotten into AI and I'm taking a course. So it's been so interesting. And actually, in terms of my podcast here, it's coming up with ideas. I'm like, oh my God, I would never have thought of that, And when I even complained about the price of some of the things that they were recommending, it was like, well, we can, and they switched up. Okay, but about your app now. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I got it in my head this week to ask AI for an analysis of my podcast. And it told me what to give it. And it said, well, this is what you're doing and what you could do better. And da 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 da. And I was like, again, one of these, was it perfect? No. But was it very good for a 15-minute effort? Oh, yeah. Okay, back to your question about my app.
Okay. What's Aura? I saw the name Aura somewhere.
Oh, I record for an app called Aura, separate from Make My Hypno. They're two distinct things. Okay. There's an app called Aura, Aura. I don't remember if it's .ai or .com or whatever it is, but it is like Calm or Headspace. It's an app that you buy a subscription to, and then you can listen to literally thousands of recordings in affirmations and hypnosis and meditation and life coaching and a bunch of other categories. And so for the folks who want something that's pre-recorded, I have a code. People can get to it from my website for a discount on a subscription to Aura.
Oh, okay. Okay, so make my hypno is what we're interested in.
No, I expect to keep recording for that, but it Aura does not have the customization
Yeah.
that Make My Hypno does.
Okay, so I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say I've got to, I don't know, get rid of my sugar intake. That's a safe one because I don't eat sugar. What do you do next? Do you ask more questions? Do you, like, I don't, you tell me.
So if someone came to me saying, I'm overeating sugar and I want some help, I would find out more about what was going on, how long the problem had existed. I have met people who are trying to quit sugar who are worried about eating a grape after dinner, to people who are, well, the real problem is that I bake my son cookies every Friday. Oh, okay. There's when it comes to quitting sugar, what an individual thinks their problem is can be very different. That's what I'm trying to say. And so depending upon kind of where they're at with it, I may recommend various different things. For the lady who's trying to, not have a frozen grape after dinner, I might tell her to just chill. It's okay.
Thank you.
But for the lady who's maybe binging on vacation, or this is sneaking cookies in the middle of the night. We might work more specifically at what are the triggers, what is the subconscious process that is leading to those behaviors, and how do we stop them? And it's probably good for your listeners to know that, your hypnotherapist is going to be working with you at a subconscious level, but will probably also have what I would call a conscious level recommendation for some of these problems too. If you're eating too many cookies because they're in the house, don't let them in the house. Like, that's the first part of the problem. Yes, we can help with the subconscious part of the whole thing. Maybe we need to work on the subconscious process when you're in the grocery store. But there are sometimes practical recommendations that are essential to success.
Okay, so you record recording, I don't know what they're called, for them. Is that like a one-off standalone recording, or will that work for several weeks and then they're getting better, so you make
It
another
depends a
one?
little on the person and the situation. Sometimes the therapy sessions that I do with a client on Zoom are appropriate for me to strip off the recording and turn it into an MP3 for them to listen to at home. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes, if we're diving into somebody's emotional history and they're crying and the rest of it, we don't need to listen to that stuff again. That's not the purpose. So it depends a little bit on where someone is and their stage of things to kind of figure out what are the things they need to do. And then sometimes I'll have them, my clients also do little other kinds of homework. A client who's been pulling out her eyelashes, I've asked her to write about that. What are you getting out of that? Write it down. Acknowledge it. Because part of what it takes to let something go of is to kind of own it. And that's what's recommended there. So your hypnotherapist, if they're like me, they may have you listen to recordings. They may have the lady who I had quitting bumblebees. I mean, this sounds totally crazy, but I had her take little post-it notes and draw little cartoon pictures of bumblebees on them and put them all over the house. And while this sounds insane, there was a very specific purpose to it. I wanted her brain to start recognizing that these post-it notes that represented bumblebees were not anything to be afraid of. Right? And so it was part of the process of getting her head in gear, like, not every bee is scary.
Is self-hypnosis a part of any of this?
Yes, self-hypnosis is a part of it. And for some clients, it is an ongoing thing that they do almost all the time. I have one client who comes to see me most frequently for overeating sugar. And I make her recordings and she listens to her recordings. She now has a collection of them. But then every now and again, that urge for sugar gets real bad. She comes back and sees me. Maybe we do another recording. And she tells me that she is listening to her recordings regularly. The more she listens to her recordings, the fewer urges for sugar she gets.
Okay, so still you making the recordings. When I read self-hypnosis, I was thinking they were prompting themselves, like
That
creating.
is fantastic when people choose to do that. And I have taught in the past a class, I teach it in person, but a class about how to make your own recordings. It is fabulous for people to make their own recordings in their own voice. However, many people don't want to learn the technology, and many people hate listening to themselves. And when people are like, oh, I don't want to hear myself, okay, fine, then you can hear me. It is very powerful to listen to your own voice saying these things, but I don't really feel like I need to get somebody past that problem. Like either you're ready to do it or you're not. But I do teach people how to speak into a recorder and make it happen if that's what they want to do.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to those entertainment stage shows for a moment. At the end of a hypnosis session, do you talk them back into the present world, or when it ends, is that just an automatic return? How does that happen?
Yeah, so I in my in-person sessions always bring them back to the present time and space. In my recordings, I often end my recordings with a, if it was your intention to fall asleep at this end of the recording, you will stay asleep. And if it was your intention when you started this recording to wake up, you'll wake up when I say the number 10. And then I end the recording that way, and it seems to work great. People love it because they can either just go straight into their sleep or wake up as with one recording. I don't have to make two.
Okay. What haven't I asked you?
I don't know. I don't know. Are you going to build your own app, Agnes?
It's toying back there, but I've got too many p or other things, shall I say, that'll come before that. So.
What I will say is that it was a process for me. It was not easy, but really it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I
And
know several people who have done that. So, yeah, I'm.
I think part of it is scoping your project so it is not so big that you can't complete it.
Yeah.
That's a tip for anyone who wants to build an app. Don't scope your project so big that you can't complete it.
Okay. What haven't I asked you, though, in terms of hypnosis? Like I've showing off my lack of knowledge all through the show.
It's been
So.
fun. I love educating people about hypnosis. I can't think of anything you haven't asked me. Speaking of sugar, I do have an event I run a few times a year. The next one will be in January 2026. I have a little workshop that I do three or four times a year called SOS Stop Overeating Sugar. And it is specifically to help people who are trying to stop overeating sugar. Details are on my website on the classes page. I have a number of classes. I got a couple books. I got the podcast. And I would love it if your visitors want to try out Make My Hypno. I can even send along a special discount code if you want to put that in your show notes for your
Yeah, no,
listeners.
absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. quick personal story. When I was in elementary school, of course, we had polio shots, all the other shots that you get as a kid. They used to give them to us on a sugar cube. I guess as kids, how are you going to, let a spoonful of sugar make it helps the medicine go down. I rarely eat sugar because of that. And if you give me a cup of coffee or tea with a
Interesting.
drop of sugar in it, my throat literally closes.
Oh
So
wow,
it's been
you
pending.
are an unusual one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like a few sweet things, but I'll take savory over sweet every time. So, there we
Good for
go.
you. It's just
Okay.
such a problem in America. We
Yeah,
have
no,
sugar.
yeah.
We have sugar in the salad dressing and the spaghetti sauce and all kinds of places.
Yeah.
So it is something to be aware of.
Yeah, I used to do grocery store. We're getting way off topic here. I used to do grocery store tours for a local chain, and people were trying to lose weight, reduce the fat in their diet, da 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 da. And I'd say, okay, like it says light. Compare the amount of fat in each one. That's great. Look at the difference in the sugar in each one. Because you think it's going to be a healthier choice, and suddenly the sugar content has gone way up. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
You find me at michellewalters.net, michellewalters.net. And your listeners can book a quick call with me or take a look at all the stuff I have going on. And then my app, we'll put a special link in, I'll send that to you after to put
Okay.
in the show notes for the discount code. But the app, if people want to check it out before they find that link, is at makemyhypno.com, makemyhypno.com.
Okay. And you're on social.
I am on social. My podcast is called Mind Power Meets Mystic. My Insta handle and YouTube channel are both Mind Power Junkie. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook.
What's with Etsy?
Oh, and I'm on Etsy. Etsy is the Mind Power Junkie store. That's where I have a number of recordings. If you wanted to try a pre-recorded, my Etsy store is a few years old at this point, but I haven't taken it down. I still sell a few recordings there. I think there's about 15 recordings on my Etsy store. Those are nice. They have music to them. There's one for stress and sleep and there's even one for incontinence, which is crazy, but it's a bestseller.
Oh, no,
Which tells you
no. Look
something.
at the age of me. And I do a lot of work with older women. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. When I saw Etsy, it was like, well, that's different. So,
Yeah. Well,
could have been.
I created the store on Etsy a few years ago because I wanted a digital marketplace to sell my recordings, and that was the easiest way to set up a shop. And then I, because I'm kind of a digital automation queen, it's all automated, my Etsy shop. So you buy recording and it just sends it to you immediately. And it's been a good thing.
Cool. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
You may.
What is a voracious imagination advocate?
Me. Voracious meaning like just can't get enough. Imagination, because that's the land of dreams and the land of hypnotherapy. And the advocate is because I'm here and I'm talking about it. And I feel like there are an awful lot of folks, maybe because I came out of so many years in corporate where, didn't seem like imagination was so wanted. And I want people to expand their imagination. I think it's a huge part of the human experience.
Is there a hypnosis for that? Is there an app for that?
I don't know. Maybe I need to make it the 20th thing you can pick on my list. I don't know. That's a good
There.
idea. I'm gonna write that down and think about that. So,
I was really hoping as I said that, I thought, oh, don't let it, I hope she doesn't send the listener somewhere else. Oh, dear.
there
Okay, I
is
mean,
a
I.
there on the Etsy store, actually. I think the Etsy store might have the creativity one, a creativity
Oh.
recording.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I read that and I'm going like, okay, I love that voracious imagination advocate. I mean, you got to say it slowly to get your tongue around it, but that's just great. So,
I like big words. I don't always use them in hypnosis, but I
no,
do like big words.
that's great. Okay, so your website links are in the show notes. All the links, anything else you want to send me, will be on your page at our website. Listeners, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show. Hypnosis has been around a long time. It has its proponents and it has its detractors. But Michelle really did explain it into a more mainstream application. Mainstream, get my mouth around that, a mainstream application. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. There was probably a question I didn't ask, Michelle. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Hypnosis falls deep into the classification of woo-woo. I've mentioned this in past episodes, but I love the definition I heard years ago that woo-woo means anything is possible. And I'm thinking, I mean, Michelle said that her intuit friend was more woo-woo than her, but I think a lot of people will still agree. There's so much lack of knowledge around hypnosis that a lot of people will consider it woo-woo. So please forgive me my comments. Anything is possible. Sharing this episode will create conversation amongst your friends and possibly a thank you call from one of them in the new year. That would be rather cool. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Quick reminder to check out the resource tab at boomwithabang.com. You can look up previous podcast episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests, some interesting courses and offerings, lists of age-appropriate job and philanthropic possibilities. And if you're at all curious about the life of a house slash pet sitter, I'm journaling that journey on the website too. Michelle Walters, thank you for being my guest today. Being open about your own experiences, and again, I can't imagine those losses. So thank you for letting us know that. And sharing so much cool information about hypnosis. As I say, like I'm sure a lot of my listeners were like me, of like, okay, this will be interesting, but I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So thank you for that, and thank you for explaining your app. It sounds really interesting.
Thank you, Agnes. This has been great.
Have a great rest of the week.